Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ah, DSW, Earth Place of the Humble Brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
All right, good evening and welcome into the Transit Town Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transit Town Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. I'm Nate Geary, and the Bills, they win. It didn't feel great, but the Bills did end up scoring 30 points. They didn't cover the spread today, but they certainly got close, and it felt at times that the game was slipping away from them. Josh Allen throws for just 209 yards after having over 60 yards on his first drive of the game. The Bills offense, things kind of tightened up in the second half, where another game where James Cook's over 20 carries, was sort of expecting this to be the game the Bills would be able to scale back and, you know, get Ray Davis some touches in this game. He leaves the game with one touch. Get, you know, Ty Johnson some more touches. He leaves the game with one touch. And defensively, more struggles on third down, frankly, early in this game when it mattered. Towards the end, I thought the Bills really tightened up. But all in all, it was a bit of a nail biter in a game that I think a lot of people were expecting this, myself included, not to be. Let's talk about it. 803-0550 is the number to get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. You've got me till 8. If you're just leaving the stadium now, hanging around, waiting for the bulk of traffic to get out, if you're in your car and you want to safely call in, would love to hear from you what your thoughts on tonight's game were. And we'll get a bunch more sound live from the locker room and reaction from the team. Get you an eye on the quarterback. We got, you know, stuff going around the league today, so we'll get to that as well. All in all, though, again, we leave today. The Bills are 4-0. Watching some of the other games across the league, like I'm looking at this Ravens and Chiefs game, and the Ravens look like a shell of the team that the Bills saw in week one, especially offensively. I know the Chiefs defense is probably better than the Bills defense, but I don't know that I don't feel like they're that much better than the Bills defensively. Let's start with the Bills defensively, because I think that's the area where I know my concern lies with, is this is a defense right now that I think it's just not good enough. We can make a lot of, you know, opinions on what they'll be by the end of the season. I know they don't have Ed Oliver. I know they don't have Matt Milano. They don't have Michael Hoyt, who's going to probably come in and expect to be a pretty big piece of this defense. They don't have Larry Ogunjobi. But, like, even going into this game, I didn't love the inactives. I mean, you addressed 8 defensive linemen in this game, one of which you pulled up from the practice squad, and we didn't get to see Landon Jackson again. So I just feel like in a game like this, that was a long game, a lot of plays in this game, that it would have been nice to have more than eight defensive linemen dressing. I mean, 22 first downs for New Orleans, 65 total plays. That's a lot of plays to have four defensive ends, one of which the whole point with Joey Bosa was that he was going to be playing 25 to 35 snaps. I don't know what he's going to leave with today. I'm going to tell you, it's way more than that for the second week in a row. So, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense to me. And you know, they dressed Curtis Samuel for the first time this year. Makes a couple of plays in the pass game. Was largely a returner today. Only finished with one catch for 9 yards on two targets, Curtis Samuel. But yeah, it just, you know, a little bit of head-scratcher in terms of personnel entering the game. And then I thought the offensive game plan was pretty head-scratching at times too. I mean, that fourth down play call where, you know, he flips it to Khalil Shakir. I love Shakir after contact. But in that spot, you know, I think you need a better play call and you need to feature a guy, to me anyways, who's been right now one of the best interior, like inside the tackles runners in the league, in James Cook. And if you're Josh Allen in that situation, I think you've got the power to get out of that play. I think you should. So that fourth down play, not great. Getting off the field on third down, not great. Some of the personnel decisions in this game, to me, not great. So all in all, they win the game. The offense at times sputtering against, listen, I think a lot of people coming into this game with New Orleans being 0-3, thinking this is the worst team in football. And I don't necessarily think that's right. Last week, traveling across the country, two special teams plays early in that game, and the game got away from them. I think it can happen to a lot of teams. I don't think that they might end up with the first overall pick. Let's be honest. But at the end of the day, do I think that they're the worst team in football? By the stats alone, they are not. By the stats alone, they're 17th on offense. You know, 17th through the air, I think 18th on the ground. And on the other side, 17th on defense. Like, this is a middle-of-the-pack team statistically. Now, some of that, those numbers are, you know, being thrown up in a blowout last week. But, yeah, I guess where I get to is, I know everybody wanted a blowout. I wanted a blowout. I wanted to watch the Ryder Cup instead of having to watch this game so intensely in the second half, but that's where we were. The other part of this is Ryan Vandermark did not have a good game. I thought he really struggled at times, especially late in the first half. Granderson got around him a couple of times, and it just was, frankly, too easy. So, you know, no Spencer Brown. That hurts, not having right now one of the best tackles in football in terms of, you know, underlying and some stats that you look at across the league. He's one of the best protectors in the NFL. So losing and missing him, I think, mattered a lot today. But 55 plays in this game, you got out, you had the other team had more plays than you. And having the same amount of carries to your starting running back, they had 32 rush attempts, 22 pass attempts. I know they want to be a run first team, but there are just times today where you need to just let Josh Allen have the ball and do what he does. So some disappointment there, no doubt about it. Let's get to the phones, get connected with the fans, powered by Verizon. Let's start the evening off with Larry in South Florida. Larry, good evening to you, and you're starting us off. What do you got?
Yeah, good evening. Obviously, I'm thrilled we got the win, but, I mean, if that's more of an opponent than the Saints, we lose that game. And I mean, there's so many things in that game. That fourth down call, that little shuttle pass to Shakir, I thought was ridiculous. But the thing that really got my blood boiling was, up until this game, I thought McDermott has done a great job of, you know, game management, clock management, and timeout usages until today. It seemed like he panicked. He blew a couple timeouts. And on that two-point conversion, even though we stopped it, you take a timeout, and you only have 10 men on the field. To me, that's inexcusable.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame McDermott on that one, though, Larry. Like, that's, you know, he's the head coach, but that's your defensive position coaches are supposed to have the guys on the field and ready. And what are you going to do? I mean, in that situation, you have to call the timeout. Like, you don't have enough guys on the field, and the look that they were giving you, that was a tough spot. I don't disagree about the timeout usage, but in that situation, you've got to give yourself a chance to stop that play. You know what I mean?
No, 100%. I wasn't necessarily, I was saying that play is inexcusable. Who answers for that? Maybe not McDermott, but somebody has to, because if it's against a, more of an opponent, we lose this game. And this is something that, you know, earlier in the week when people were calling, like, we don't want to play down to the opponent.
Yeah.
And even though the Bills really haven't, that was still the focus of some of the calls. And it sure seemed like, other than the first drive by Buffalo, that was the case. And I'm concerned about our defense. And again, on third down, the lack of third down stops. Again, end of the game, much better. But this is something that we have not been able to control, and it continues to happen. And this is something that McDermott specializes in. Then I know we've got a ton of injuries, and we still have the injuries, and people aren't back, but we got to figure out what we're going to do, because we have two or three more games. We might be able to get away with it. But look, Kansas City looks like it's starting to come back. Tampa Bay looked tough today. So we got to figure this out on defense.
The New England Patriots, Larry, look
formidable
on offense. So, no, I agree. Thanks for the call, Larry. Defensively, to me, is a real concern. Derek, you kind of said it, like, before the show. Like, they play another C-grade performance, and they still find a way to win by double digits. It doesn't feel good, but at the end of the day, I mean, they didn't put together their best performance. And I don't need them to be playing their best in September. They've played their best in September before, and it hasn't meant anything. But to Larry's point, the same problems defensively continue to pop up for this team, and it's the side of the ball they have pumped more resources in than anywhere else in the roster.
And I'd be a fool to not pay attention to your Twitter feed during a game.
Me?
Yes.
Mm.
Your roller coaster sometimes, but also you're trying to keep track of things in the moment. So sometimes it does look like, okay, that didn't fit from the rest of the game. However, I come down to one conclusion in this game. For the second week in a row, they play a C-level game, and yet mystifyingly, like, you could call this team back into the principal's office and go, what the heck was that? And they still score 30-plus points. They still allow under 20.
Yeah.
However, they do allow a team to stay in the game longer than you'd think they should. And poor Cameron Johnston got rocked.
Yeah, again.
But, like, those are odd similarities for two straight games in a row. However, we saw the Chargers lose to the Giants. We saw Green Bay lose to Cleveland last week. There are fates worse than what we saw today and on Thursday last week. It could be worse. We see a fate worse right now in Baltimore right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say don't panic, but I am going to say exhale. There are fates worse than what we've seen today. The defense is a concern. Last year's problem is this year's problem again. However, what can be done about it in the interim?
I'm not sure. They just need to be better. And the problem is right now, without your rookie corner, whom I just don't know you can ask him at this point to be anything for them, right? I don't know what you can ask of Max Hairston, not playing, really not getting much at all of training camp reps, not getting any preseason reps, and missing the first at least four, probably 6 to 8 weeks of football. And asking him to come in, and then, I don't know, like, and I like Dorian Strong, but if you are counting on a sixth-round rookie to be your savior, I think you're in real trouble. And I like Trey White a lot. I love Trey White, but he struggled today for a second week in a row. He looked like he got benched for a second, and then he came back out and finished the game. But to me, like, if I'm Brandon Bean, I'm on the horn. There's the report today about Tariq Woolen being potentially available in Seattle as he falls out of favor with Devin Witherspoon back healthy. And, like, to me, I'm making that call. I think the Bills need to consider reinforcements in the defensive backfield. I will say this. I know it's been a little doom and gloom. The Bills did win 31-19. I will say, if there was two bright spots today, A, Deion Walker. Deion Walker... What I knew about Deion Walker is that he would come off the bus his rookie season as a guy that could help you with interior pass rush. I didn't know what he would have as a run defender. He was their best run defender today and most consistent run defender today. And Cole Bishop, who is now, I think, comfortable. I think you can see the comfort in Cole Bishop. You can see that the game is now slowed down for Cole Bishop. I know that the interception itself stands out, right? Like the play he makes, the ground he covers, and then, you know, the catch. Everything about it was a really strong, elite-level play. But to me, it was the play recognition, not allowing the eye candy to put him out of position to not be able to recover and make that play. So to me, the physicality, the kind of mean streak I've seen from Cole Bishop and the athleticism, to me, he's their only A-plus athlete on that defensive backfield right now.
And I think that Bishop being a saving grace for the defense today is a really encouraging thing, because that was the biggest question mark heading into the regular season for a lot of fans. However, that said, like I was stepping on a little bit of a soapbox of like everyone can just like exhale for a moment. I will say it's the other safety that's concerning me. Taylor Rapp is not playing up to any sort of standard that he played last year with, and I'm getting very concerned about how he has been playing week to week right now. Christian Benford, I want to see more, but I also am suspecting that the play calling is just not it a lot of times. They are way too comfortable with letting everything in front of them, to a point, though, where it can damage them with yards after the catch. And they're still even comfortable with playing off in the red zone or goal to go where, oh, hey, 7 yards off the ball means they're in the end zone when they throw the ball. It just, sometimes I'm starting to think that Bobby Babich may not be it, but again,
it's
what can you
for
do
me
about
because
it?
I don't view Bobby Babich as an issue right now. I view the execution, I view the tackling as
the
issues
tackling.
More than I view.
Yeah, Babich is not the problem when it comes to tackling. Yeah,
and I know it's not Bobby Babich's fault that right now they're working with a starting corner opposite of Christian Benford that's coming off of two horrific injuries and is in the back nine of his career. Like, that's what he's working with. And he doesn't have Matt Milano on the lineup, and even when he did, right? And he doesn't have Michael Hoyt, who I think that they want to use as a chess piece. So, like, all of this to say, I get the desire to want to blame or have at least partial blame towards Bobby Babich. I just don't, to me, I'm not watching something and seeing a scheme that I'm like, they can't win with this. I don't think the scheme's the problem. I think they need to try to find a player on the opposite side of Christian Benford that they can reliably lean on in games where you have good receivers on the other side to stop the pass game on third down. And the other guy that hasn't really been the same player either is Taron Johnson. And that's a hard conversation to have. So, yeah, all in all, I sit here and I say their defensive backfield was their biggest issue coming into this season, and it remains the biggest issue in this season. The other part, obviously, is the defensive line. There's no doubt about that.
I was just going to
counter with that. But they've played good enough. Today, Joey Bosa's got to stop getting beat around the edge. I mean, he's got to stop getting beat around the edge.
Yes.
But at the end of this game, who closed the game out? The defensive line closed this game out. So, you know, do they need to be better and more consistent? Absolutely. They are working in two rookies on the fly. So,
I will say, I think the offense closed this game. The two sacks that they get, one after the other to end the game, they're convenient, but the game was in hand at that point. New Orleans has no timeouts left. There's less than 2 minutes left. It's kind of a little bit of like it makes it look better, because up until that final drive, the Bills have one sack on the day, 1 week after sacking Tua zero times. There needs to be consistency on the pass rush. And I hate to sound mean with these sorts of things, but Greg Rousseau, we need to slap his image on a milk carton or something, because I do not recognize him in a game at this point.
Three total tackles today. No sacks on the year. I know the pressures are there, but that guy's got to finish. He's paid to be a finisher, and he is not getting to the quarterback with enough consistency right now. Let's get connected with our fans. Tom in Moravia has been waiting patiently. Tom, good evening.
Hi, fellas. How are you tonight?
I'm well.
I'm
two concerns. I think they're too cute on their short yardage plays, sometimes you just got to play smash mouth football. You got a fullback situation type of thing. Josh, too cute on their short yardage and red zone pass defense. And that's what I've got to say, improving.
Yeah, no, listen, it's the pass defense needs to improve. There's no doubt about it. I think we all agree with that, right?
Yes. The more smash mouth thing, I'm going to step toward.
Yeah, I'm good on that.
Yeah, no.
I'm good on that.
Sometimes you actually need to let Josh Allen be unleashed. And
let that dude cook every once in a while.
Let that dude actually do something. Let him do more consistently. And you have, again, run to pass ratio ends at 32-25 if I count the sacks.
I don't love that.
I don't love that either. I think that
it all evens out at the end of the day.
It evens out at the end of the day, but at some point it was 25-15.
Their offense was absolutely unstoppable in the fourth quarter against the Ravens. Why?
They had to throw the ball.
I know the Ravens were playing prevent defense. But they need to get the ball in the hands of their best player in these. And I know
how'd they close the game? Josh Allen. They call a pass play.
Josh Allen runs himself
up the middle, and it's over. And then the next thing you know, the dagger in the heart with Dalton Kincaid's touchdown.
Yep.
They win this game. They close this game with their quarterback. Let the quarterback, let the MVP of the National Football League.
Let him cook.
Take over every now and then. And I get that Joe Brady wants to have the balance. I appreciate the balance, as a matter of fact. James Cook's worth every penny already.
Yep.
But sometimes you got to let it be when the critical situation's there. When it's fourth and one, I don't need an end around to Khalil Shakir.
Yeah.
I don't need first, second, third, and fourth down to be run plays when one of them is James Cook, who gains you 8 yards, by the way. Then you give it to Ray Davis. Not much going. Then you give it to Ty Johnson, nothing. Then you give it to Khalil Shakir, nothing.
That's
predictability as well. You have an alien at quarterback for third and two. Let him be that. Use play action more.
They ran a lot of play action from under center today.
Don't
more
care.
Than,
use it more I, than
I get
that.
It. It's a cheat code. With this it team, is. It's a cheat code. All right, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills football Friday. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joel will break the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown and Steve Tasker at noon. Show up in Bulldog at 3. Buffalo Bills Football Monday all day tomorrow on the Home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. On the other side, we'll get brewing around the league, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery, and get you updated on the happenings across the league as the 4 o'clock window rolls on. We'll also continue taking your phone calls at 803-0550. That's your numbers to call. And tonight, a reminder as well, after our overtime show here tonight on 8 p.m. at WGR Sports Radio 550. Westwood One presents the Packers at the Cowboys. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Nick Erie, Derek Kramer, more of the Transitown Jeep Ram overtime show on the other side. This is WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Here's the snap, orbit motion, it's a reverse. Alave going Philly special, and it's intercepted by Cole Bishop at the 2-yard line, and up the sideline he goes. What a play by Cole Bishop.
Gotta feel like that might be your play of the game today. I mean, I don't know if it's not, I don't know what play in this game could really be a play of the game, because it just was a big momentum change at that point in the game. The Bills were looking like they might go down with double dip potential into the second half. And I think that goes to show you, too, a little bit of inexperience at the head coaching position, bad play call by them. Just you need to, at worst, get 3 points, be down 14-13 with a chance to double dip. And you know, they ruined that chance. So that's just, you know, there it is. But welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. I'm Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, alongside to break down tonight's 31-19 victory over the New Orleans Saints. Before we go back to the phones, let's get some stories from around the league and brewing around the league, brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light, the official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. And the game's currently in action right now, 27-13. The Chiefs have a third quarter lead over the Ravens right now, with Roquan Smith and Marlon Humphrey out of this game. So bad news for the Ravens, who are already down multiple scores in that game. The Colts right now have a 20-13 lead over the Rams. Let me tell you, folks, the Colts are real. That is a real team. They are not frauds. They're not fakes. That's a real good football team beating a really good football team in the LA Rams. And then in San Francisco, the Jaguars just kicked a field goal to take and extend their lead 20-14. And that one, Travis Etienne, 14 carries, 107 yards, and a score. Ricky Pearsall leading the way receiving in that game, 4 for 46. I mentioned the Chiefs have that 27-13 lead over the Ravens. And then the other game currently in action, Ashton Jeanty gets his third touchdown, 2 through the air, 1 on the ground in this game. The Raiders have a 21-16 lead right now at home over the Bears. Let's get back to the phones, get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills, and go to Andrew in Austin, who's been waiting patiently. Good evening, Andrew, and thanks for waiting.
Hey, good evening. Long time, first time. Just want to say, feed the cookie monster more. If you're going to win the game with Josh, put it in James's hands as well. Get a little pressure off Josh. And Seneca Hickory Sticks, top 5 public course in Western New York.
Nice. I agree. It's a great course. 22 carries, a lot of touches for James Cook.
That's just running the football.
I don't want to get to the point, Derek, where we're talking about are they... This wasn't a three-headed monster. We talked about this in pregame today, and I agree with Jeremy when he said this. This was never actually a three-headed monster in the backfield. A large majority of Ray Davis's touches came in games that were out of hand. But, I mean, one touch? Your other running backs had two touches today.
They weren't effective either, a total of 3 yards
so,
in that four-play sequence that I mentioned.
I just, like, for me, I need to see more Ray Davis. But in fairness, I need Ray Davis to be more effective when he's in the game. And he has not been. He has not really earned more carries. But 22 carries? I don't want to get to December talking about James Cook looking worn down. I don't want to get there because of how important he's going to be to get 22 to 25 carries in January. So wearing him out in September and October doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me.
Also, look, let's just say it the way it is. Josh Allen is paid like a bona fide quarterback in the National Football League. It's okay to make the pressure be on him a little bit because he plays well with it. Let him close out a game. Let him win a game. As a matter of fact, he proved he did it in this one. Allen's scramble. Allen's touchdown pass to Kincaid puts the game away. I don't need to be going more than 22 carries. Matter of fact, I thought they ran the football a little too much in this game. But, I mean, again, the thing about James Cook, though, is that he's become worth every penny of that contract already. Hell, I would have paid him the 15 he asked for because that's the way he's performing. But that said, no, I don't necessarily think that more is the right answer.
I would agree.
It's not the wrong answer, but it's not the right answer.
I don't think more is the right answer. I think he has been incredibly efficient in the carries he's been getting. I need something else other than James Cook to work and be consistent. I mean, that's – I don't think crazy breaking news, but let's get a quick eye on the quarterback. It's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems. We keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting – your business. Josh Allen finishes 16 of 22, 209 yards, 2 touchdowns, his first interception of the season. He was sacked 3 times, finished with a QBR of 88.6, which is pretty damn good in this game, and a passer rating of 113.6, and finished with 7 carries for 45 yards and a touchdown on the ground as well. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Tim in Cheektowaga. Tim, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Tim.
Hey, good evening. Appreciate you guys taking the call. I just want to make a couple quick points about the game. Some of your points may seem a little obvious, but first thing that of course, the theme, of course, is the defense. It is definitely a concern that the only team really kind of dominated was the New York Jets. But what concerns about this defense is, we know we're not 100%, we're missing some guys, but the Bills' defensive players just seem to lack a physicality. They don't have the kind of defense that will really impose their will. Of course, you see how they're horrible on third and long. They're so good to the third and long. And I saw today this guy, Rabbit, he was elusive. But I wanted to, did we scout this guy? Did we not? If you don't want to sign a spy, I just saw so many arm tackles and so many people just reaching. Nobody really laying their shoulder pads into this quarterback or anyone for that matter. And to me, like, we have a handful of hitters, like Shaq Thompson's a hitter, of course, Milano, Bernard. But we really don't have a unit that is physical. The Bills draft guys that are agile, athletic, et cetera. But it does come into play when you have a pounding running attack that we're going to struggle against, you know?
Yep.
And it is disheartening. And, Rapp and Bishop are kind of coming together, but there needs to be more consistency with them because that was a poorly thrown pass that Cooks dropped, but that was a wide-open touchdown. So I don't want to nitpick every little thing, but our defense has to. Otherwise, we got to score 30, 45 points just to win. The other quick point, James Cook, a lot of people were complaining, saying, why pay him that money? And I said, he's the most explosive player on our team. No, he isn't Josh. And I said, no, Josh is the MVP of our team, but Cook is the most explosive offensive player. We have Ray Davis. And now we can see that Cook, as one person, he was worth every penny he asked for. And last but not least, I know you guys made the point about the fourth down that failed conversion. I'm not sure if you saw this, but Spencer Brown's replacement
was he so struggled clumsy. Today.
his footwork. Yeah, but he struggled badly because he makes that block. And Shakur hits that hole. I'm with you. I don't believe in getting cute on fourth down, but that play would have worked at 74. Just really just got man on man. He just stood in the guy's way, and he just had a rough game. His footwork was bad on pass protection and run. Real quick, I'm surprised that we didn't have a chipper to help him out with Hayward, because he really struggled against a really good defensive player. But again, at the end, it was an ugly win, but it's not a beauty contest. I'm glad we won. And on to the Patriots. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tim. Listen, I agree. I'm glad they won, too. I feel much better about being critical in a win. Like, you know, I think a lot of the players after the Ravens game said it best, right? Like, they did not play a good game defensively. But it's easier to go over the film and be critical after a win than it is being critical and having to do it after a loss. The same, I think, can be said about this. So I think for me, you know, a couple of your points, Tim. Like, yeah, Vandermark struggled today. He definitely whiffed on that block. And it's just, to me, that's just a little too cute for me on fourth down and one, especially when you have Josh Allen, especially when you have James Cook, one of the best interior running backs in the league, just between the tackles, what he's able to do. So I think for me, it's like, I do think they were a little too cute. So I don't know. I all in all, again, they win, and they win by double digits, even though their fastball was just they didn't have the fastball today. And that does matter in these games. If you don't have your fastball, you have to be able to win other ways. And I don't really think the Bills won in other ways. They just kind of kept at it. And although at times it wasn't always pretty, I mean, like, I think that play to Dalton Kincaid is, I think, the epitome of how they won this game, right? Which Kincaid, before that point, does not even have a target in the game. Which is, I think, another conversation. He's, to me, your best pass catcher right now, most consistently your best pass catcher. And to not get him a target until the fourth quarter, I think was...
Yeah. It's where there's a lot of this... This is where that everybody eats mantra kind of confuses everybody, myself included. But it is also the ebbs and flows of football. Yeah, the sky is not falling at the end of the day. I just don't appreciate that it started raining meatballs for some reason. And, like, yeah, there's something weird going on here. I don't like it. But at the end of the day, they are 4-0, and they do get to move on to New England next week with a win. But, yeah, I think there's just not enough hammered home about the defense. The tackling has to get fixed. And that is strictly execution.
The tackling,
like you
does
said,
need to get fixed, yes.
Like you said, that is execution. The coaches have nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, the general manager.
Yeah.
Like, you draft the players, they still have to make the hits and wrap up. I just also look at it still, despite everything, and I just know there's a fate worse than what the Bills gave you today. And that
it's
makes
losing
me,
to the Saints.
It's losing,
like,
to the Saints.
The Chargers lost to the Giants. It
right.
could be worse. Yeah.
It could be worse.
Think about what people are talking about today if, you know, the team that right now that was ahead of you technically in the standings ends up, you know, losing, and then you lose.
Matter of fact, the Rams just scored a touchdown. The Bills might be the only unbeaten team left
very
in the
possible.
AFC today.
It's very possible. Tie game pending an extra point in, which I can't take for granted because they had two field
goals
blocked last week.
Yeah, they had two blocked last week.
But the Rams, Puka Nacua touchdown, 3:20 left in that game. Again, expected to be tied after an extra point in Los Angeles. But, you know, Danny Dimes is going to have a chance to go down and win the game for Indianapolis as well. So we'll keep you updated on that as well. Let's take one more phone call before we go to a break, and we'll have some player sound for you as well. Pat in Syracuse has been waiting patiently. Good evening, Pat. You're on the Overtime Show.
Hey, Nate. I've been listening to you since the start. I agree with a lot about what you said on defense, you know, just stuff that needs to be cleaned up. I do think Babich is kind of an issue. But when I listen to your show, it feels like the Bills lost. Like, you know, it just goes, you guys go on and on about complaining about what needs to be changed. Like, we're 4-0, 14 straight home game wins. We're sitting here like, oh, man, that was a rough game. No, it wasn't. We scored 31 points. We held them to less than 20. And I said it to you last year, Nate. I'll say it to you again. I think you're a little bit cynical. I get you need the sound points, the sound bites for your show. But a smile won't hurt, guys. Like, we won. Let's
Well, let me ask you this, Pat. Do you – well, hold on. Before you hang up, Do you think their defense, as is right now, is good enough for them to win a Super Bowl and not be the reason that they give up 30 points per game?
Yes, we have so many injuries. We've got Hoyt coming back. We got Ogunjobi coming back. Yes,
we haven't seen what either of those players do in the system. So I agree, they're players, but I don't know what they are in the system.
I think they're going to add a lot of depth, and I think that it's going to be a great addition. Yes, I do think we have what it takes to win a Super Bowl. I think you're a little cynical.
All right, fair enough. I appreciate the call, Pat. I don't think their defense right now is good enough to win a Super Bowl. So,
and also, did you not just hear me say, despite everything, they're 4-0? Despite everything, they're onto it with an unbeaten record? Like, yeah, I get it. You picked... Ready? He picked out what you thought about, like, the being cynical part. He's picking out the things that you wanted to bring into it. So... Everything at the end of the day, and I was just going to get to this point of, despite what we are saying, what you are saying on the phone lines as well, the other callers
but
that have
I
been
also want to point
in,
out nothing I'm saying is not true. So
ready,
I don't.
That is all.
Maybe I am cynical, but I guess the truth can be cynical.
Truth is also terrible.
The truth typically will set you free.
No, oftentimes it shackles you. But despite everything, despite the ugly truth, despite the game that was, it was a C-plus game at best. By the Bills today in terms of talent and overall capabilities.
Why is
Lamar
Jackson's
not in the game? Okay, pause on that.
Interesting. We'll get you updated on that and some more.
I just want to finish the point of, at the end of the day, despite the ugly truth, despite the C-type game that they played for the second straight week, they win. Against better teams, I expect them to play up to competition. It's fine. But it's also fine to have questions. It's not like everything's fine. We can skip through the field together. No, there's some things that got to be pointed out. Why is there this? Who gave me this stab wound? Basically is what this is. Oh, I feel great. Who gave me this stab wound? We're waking up like the hangover, okay? That's what's going on here. I lost a tooth. What happened? There's questions that have to be answered. But at the end of the day, they are 4-0.
They are 4-0. I was at the game. I don't know if Pat was at the game. At no point did I feel particularly good today, other than when they actually won. So,
I
think it's
fine.
And I think it's fair to say that you want to talk about all the positives in the game. There just wasn't that many. There were more negatives in this game, which is what we're going to talk about after the game, than the positives. And when you are a team that is in the window they are with the quarterback they have and their inability to get to a Super Bowl and the same reasons over and over are the reasons that are stopping you. I don't know.
And welcome to the hell of playing bad opponents for the next month.
Yeah.
Nothing. We will learn nothing good about
probably
this team.
Not.
And that has more to do with the opponents than the Bills themselves at this point. We will learn nothing good. Because if they do start fixing their third down situations, oh, it's the Patriots. Oh, it's the Falcons. Oh, it's the Carolina Panthers. Like, we're not going to learn anything until Kansas City. That's the part that sucks.
Yep.
So,
more than likely.
A smile would be great. But I do want to question, why am I missing a tooth?
Yes, indeed. All right. 803-0550 is the number to call. Thank you for the call, Pat. Thank you for listening. On the other side, we'll continue with the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show here on WGR.
Takes the snap, fakes the throw to the flat, looks down the sideline, he's got Kincaid, who's going to walk it in for a 23-yard touchdown.
Chris Brown on the call. The Bills win 31-19 over the New Orleans Saints. I'm Nate Geary, Derek Kramer here with you with the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Let's get back to the phones to get connected with our fans, powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Mike in Denver leads us off for this segment. What you got, Mike?
Yes, I'd like to talk about this third down defense.
Sure.
And, you know, I remember calling, you know, the after-game show, you know, 3-4 years ago and complaining about third and long especially.
Yep.
You know, even going back to Leslie Frazier, this team has had a major issue with third down in general and the soft coverage they play on third down. And this is not a defensive coordinator issue, because like I said, I mean, this goes back to Leslie. It starts with the head coach, who's supposed to be a defensive guru, and has, you know, I mean, sooner or later you would think he'd step in and say, we got to do something, and he hasn't done it. It's his philosophy. And, you know, and then my second point is, I'd like to think that this, and hopefully I'm wrong on this, but I think as long as he is coach, Josh Allen will not win a Super Bowl, and it pains me to say this. But he's had Josh Allen in his prime for 5 years now, and he hasn't gotten even to the Super Bowl, not to mention win one, but not even gotten to the Super Bowl. And I'd like to, I don't know if you can get the stats on their third down compared to teams like Kansas City and Philadelphia. And I'd like to see what the stats are for Kansas City and Buffalo over the last 3 or 4 years and how those teams have ranked on third down, because Kansas City, you know, from the games I've watched, seem to do a lot better on third down than the Bills do.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike. Listen, Kansas City's got a fantastic defense. They've got the best defensive coordinator in football, and they've got a future Hall of Famer on defensive line in Chris Jones. McDuffie is a stud. Like, they've got real pieces on the defensive.
Drew Tranquil is severely underrated.
Underrated, agreed. Like, they're good. And I'm not here to tell you I think the Bills are bad. I think defensively, I don't know if it's philosophy. I don't know if it's execution. I don't know that I agree it's soft zone necessarily. But, you know, by the way, we have a blowout happening right now. Kansas City is absolutely demolishing the Baltimore Ravens. And
by
the
way, we put a pin in something. Lamar Jackson does have a hamstring injury.
He does. And it looks like he's out.
He's out. And I would imagine now you're not even
thinking. What's the point of putting him back in the game? Yeah. The Ravens are injured right now. I just saw Nate Wiggins, their starting corner, come off the field. Marlon Humphrey already out for this game. Roquan Smith out for this game. Now Lamar Jackson out for this game. Injuries are piling up there for the Ravens. I think they're going to be pretty good on, wow.
The Colts gave
a
up
a 2-2 Atwell 85-yard touchdown pass to take the lead with a minute 33 left.
Brother.
Wow. 2-2 Atwell. What a throw from Matthew Stafford. Let's take a timeout. Oof. That's your, you know, while we're here, there's another Brewing Around the League. It's brought to you by Thin Man Brewery and their new Mafia Light. If you haven't tried it, it's fantastic. The official beer of Buffalo football tailgates. On the other side, more here from the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nate Geary. That's Derek Kramer. This is WGR.
Cook going to follow him, and he is into the end zone for a one-yard touchdown run. The Cook is in the kitchen, and with that rushing touchdown, he becomes the Bills' all-time leader in consecutive games with a rushing touchdown. It's now up to 8 consecutive games.
James Cook, one of the highlights from today, breaking the franchise record for consecutive games with at least a touchdown with 8. And then in this game as well, Josh Allen passing O.J. Simpson, I think, for 3rd in total touchdowns in franchise history. So some record-breaking happening today by 2 players right now that are, you know, just the absolute core of this offense. We're going to go to the phones right after that. We're going to hear from Bills linebacker Shaq Thompson. But again, before that, let's get connected with our fans powered by Verizon, the official 5G partner of the Buffalo Bills. Let's go to Matt in Hamilton. Matt, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Matt.
Hey, Nate. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing, man.
I was at the game today, and I hate to be the negative guy calling in right now, but 4-0, and it's frustrating. Like, we were at the game today, and it's tough to watch. They're a couple mistakes away from maybe losing or maybe coming right down to the wire, and I don't think I speak for myself when I say this. I think I speak for a lot of other Bills fans. Like, and I love your opinion, but, you know, do you think this is a Super Bowl caliber team right now with the way they operate? And again, 4-0, great squad,
yeah.
But they got a unicorn at quarterback, and they just don't really utilize them. I'd love to see them go up against a team like the Saints today and just blow them out.
Yeah.
Have them sit the fourth quarter, and away we go. I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Matt. Listen, you know, they're not going to play a perfect game every week, right? And for me, though, back-to-back weeks where you kind of have your C-level game. On top of that, you had a 10-day. Here's the thing that I think frustrates me about this game. You had extra days to prepare for this game.
Correct.
You had the Saints, who were in Seattle on Sunday, flew across the country to get back to New Orleans by Monday morning, then back to Buffalo yesterday. I mean, that's a lot of travel for a team on a normal week playing a team who's got 10 days break. Do I think they're a Super Bowl team? I do. Do I think their defense is good enough to win a Super Bowl? I don't. I don't think it's been good. I think it's the one thing that's held them back. And it's not, and the same problems last year, in the year before that, with different faces, not largely different faces, but different faces swapped in, lots of assets, first round, second rounders that aren't producing. Your third round pick hasn't seen the field, can't get a game day jersey. You're dressing four defensive ends when you said you were going to be holding back, you know, Joey Bosa. To me, they're emptying the clip on James Cook and Joey Bosa in September to beat the Saints.
And
so that's where I'm just saying I'm concerned about it. It's not, to me, I think that they're going to walk out on the field every single week, play a perfect game? No. And I also don't think I'm melting down about this. I think that it's right to acknowledge that they didn't play their best game today. They still found a way to win. And they're going to need to find ways to win throughout the season. But the Bills have won in just about every single way. You know, I don't know how many more lessons in winning close games is. I know it's the NFL and it's any given Sunday. And today, I think, proved that more than ever. But there is something to be said about, you know, week in and week out when the defense has these same problems. They're fundamental problems, tackling. And are they good enough in their defensive backfield to stop? And I thought Jeremy made the best analogy that I have heard yet. That the regular season, it's a golf analogy.
Oh boy.
The regular season is stroke play. It's a normal stroke play event. The playoffs becomes match play. And even the best player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, who's the best player in the world, went 0-for-4 in match play events with a team. He won today. Ended up going 1-for-4. But in the first 2 days of the Ryder Cup, in match play events, he went 0-for-4. It's a different game in January. And how it doesn't matter how bad the Chiefs are. The Ravens, are maybe not today is a good example of this, but the Ravens know this too, that the Chiefs, they get to January, and it doesn't matter what happened in the regular season. Because they're a different team. There's a switch. There's a focus. There's whatever it is. But it changes in January. And right, the Bills have changed for the worse in January historically. Right? I mean, like,
I will say, because of that, haven't these last two games kind of felt like the Chiefs of last year, though? Where they won ugly.
They weren't scoring 30 points.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is that they did win ugly. A lot, as a matter of fact. So much so that they got the one seed out of it. I don't think you apologize for winning ugly against bad teams.
You definitely do not apologize.
But this is one of those situations, these last two games, where you're allowed to say, hey, they're 4-0, nobody's perfect. But also, again, say, why did I get punched in the face?
Yeah.
That didn't feel good. You should be able to say both of these things, both be able to publicly acknowledge these things, and I think not be able to go after each other, for example, if one points out the other side of it. Because both things are true. Yeah, they're 4-0. Yeah, they played their C-level game, and they still won by two scores. Yeah, the defense is showing me problems that showed up last year. And that's exhausting.
Yeah, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Let's get back to the phones. Steve in Texas, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Steve. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. I appreciate your show and you guys working late. And, I really do agree with pretty much everything that you guys are putting out there. I just think, as a general fan of the team, that sometimes a lot of this frustration is just that everybody kind of feels like they want to win the Super Bowl like
every week.
And it's like, that's what you're playing for.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating, but to me, the biggest thing is, you know, getting these rookies and all these young guys that are making splash plays. So when we get to the playoffs and we do have the injuries, which we will have regardless, that these guys are ready to step up and have a special moment. So we finally get that game-changing play from somebody instead of being on the other end of it. And that's what I'm hoping for this season, is just some development from the young guys, and when the moment's there, that they're ready to take it.
Yeah, Steve, great call. I think that's a point that is probably doesn't need to be said, but never is actually said. So when you say it, it's like, yeah, that's true. It's every week kind of it does feel the super like the Super Bowl. The Chiefs don't feel that way last year at any point. Do you want to know why? Because they've won three of the last five Super Bowls.
That is, and they've been to a couple others that they lost.
So the anxiety that Bills fans, to Steve's point, it, every game sort of feels like a Super Bowl because they haven't done it. So, like, if the Bills had won the Super Bowl last year and they're 4-0, I might not even show up to this show. Say, Derek, just do it. Who cares? They won. They beat the Saints. I'm still hungover from my February Super Bowl parade.
It would almost feel dirty to complain about a game like this if they've won one.
Correct. Correct. Great. Steve, you know, that was a really good call, and you put it in a way that, again, I think is easy to state and understand. We often don't say that, but I think it was just really well said.
I think it personifies the...
Again, it's not anger. It's not... No one says this team stinks. No one says they're never going to win a Super Bowl. I think I sometimes get frustrated when the calls come into the show about Sean McDermott. I know that he hasn't gotten it done. And to me, though, it's that the defense has been the problem every January. It's been the problem every September and October, November, and December. And the answers have not led to a lot of change.
You know what it is? I think the perfect word for this is anxiety. This is, I left the house for 2 hours and my dog is absolutely pissed. But I came back. And everything's great. Anxiety. And I think no city feels it more than Buffalo does.
Just got to get it done.
Yes. And the problem is that, as Steve eloquently puts it, it's not getting done in September.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And this comes back to something I said all week on the Extra Point Show. We are going to learn nothing good about them for a month. Because the Patriots are... They're not a good team yet.
No, but they are...
But they're spicy.
Well said. Spicy.
Spicy is the right word. But then Atlanta. They could probably be spicy too. Carolina. I don't know about them anymore. They look like a roster that's still very far away. Except for one game that was against Atlanta. But it is becoming this thing of, until we get to Kansas City, we don't get to feel that same way again. Where you're going punch for punch with another contender like you did with Baltimore in week one. The Bills defense gives up 40 points. Who the hell cares after that evening, right? I think that turns into Josh Allen, what a baller, 250 yards passing in the fourth quarter. That's the first focus. They won, so we can also say something about the defense, but who the hell cares? They won the game. How'd they win that game? And now when you're facing lesser competition, you not only not learn anything productive, you also see everything as bad as it could be. If there are screw-ups against a bad team, it's going to lead to more negative thoughts. And again, that allows me to go ahead and take a step back, breathe in, and go, yeah, that stinks. They need to fix that. I also watched Cleveland limit Green Bay to 10 points.
Yeah, right.
So there are fates worse than death, is basically how I want to put this.
I agree. Let's go to the locker room. Let's get some locker room sound from Shaq Thompson, the Bills linebacker. Played a bunch today and has played well in spot duty the last 2 weeks in place of Matt Milano. It's brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Shaq, seems like every week you're coming up with a big hit to kind of energize everybody on defense. How important is that to kind of bring the physicality that helps bring the energy?
I'm just playing my role. You know, I know what I signed up for when I got here. You know, I got three great guys, four Joe, including Joe, guys, you know, who go out there and play. You know, I'm just going in when the shoelace happens. And now I gotta go in. When I step in, I got to make sure I know what I'm doing, you know. And that's what the mentality is for everybody. Next man up, understand what you're doing and go out there and make plays.
They were running a little bit of 13 personnel on you guys. You're starting to see a little bit more of that. Do you expect to see that as the year goes on against you guys?
I hope so. You know what I mean?
Because you get to play.
Yeah, you know, I get to get in. But, It all depends. Whatever they want to run against us, you know, our biggest thing is just go out there and try to stop every play.
First half, they were gaining some yards on the ground. You guys seen to button up a little bit more in the second half. What kind of adjustments? What was talked about at halftime?
Honestly, I was getting a cast on, so I didn't really know what was talked about. But whatever it was, it worked out. You know, the guys stepped up. Everybody was doing the job. 1-11th. And went out there and stopped their run game. We know they got efficient run game with five, especially 41. So, you know, they do a lot of jets, motions to get your eyes going and run the ball the other way. You know, so the guys did a great job, especially up front, getting off the ball, playing with hands, staying in your gap, two gap and late. The guys did a great job stopping it.
What do you think about Spencer, the young quarterback who uses his legs pretty well, too?
Yeah. I was a little shocked.
Yeah.
You know, but the way those gaps open, you know, part like a Red Sea, and everybody could have ran through, you know. But that's something that we got to button up. You know, he's a good young mobile quarterback, you know, still figuring things out. And down the road, he may be one of those quarterbacks that you got to watch out for.
Three home games now. You've experienced Bills Mafia in full throttle. What's it been like for you?
It's been great. You know, they come out, they support, they love, you know what I mean? Not up and down. They're gonna stay with the team regardless, win, lose, you know. And for players, you know, that's big for players, you know, to have that fan base behind you guys, whether you win, lose, draw, you know. And they're very consistent, and then that's what I love, you know. Bills Mafia fans are phenomenal. They're great. Go Mafia.
All right, there is Bills linebacker Shaq Thompson. And, of course, any locker room sound is brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino. Let's go back to the phones now. We'll also hear from some more locker room sound as well coming up here. But in the meantime, let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania. Mike, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, good evening. I feel like a snobby Patriots fan from the 2010 era when I'm calling, and I'm going to gripe about what I'm going to gripe. But I was at the game, and we've got to open it up. I know we won double digits. I know we scored 30 again. But, man, if it wasn't for a penalty and it wasn't for – I mean, we made a heck of a play down at the end zone, Cole Bishop doing the interception. There's something to be desired with Josh Allen opening up that offense. And I don't think it's their ability to just turn it on and turn it off. I think they're really trying it during the game, and they're just not having success. But – they've got to really kick that into a gear, going to a, you know, getting down the stretch and playing a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, you're going to have to go toe to toe with them. If they get in the playoffs and you're matched up against them. I'm not worried about the defense. I think that'll come in, but just open the offense up. And if they don't have that guy, do they go get a guy at the trade deadline?
On the offensive side of the ball, Mike?
Yes, like a wide receiver that can stretch the field. There's just no defense. I mean, there's no shots down the field, and I know Josh wants to take them.
Yes, I agree.
I know he wants to shoot. He does. He wants to take them, and they're doing fine. I'm not, like I said, I opened the call up saying that I sound like a 2010 snobby Patriot fan nitpicking here, but it's something that I'm watching the game. I'm like, wow, they can't take shots down the field, and it dawned on me in the game that they're trying, and they just don't have that weapon. I feel like if they can find that trade a play, maybe Gabe Davis is the answer on the
oh my gosh, I forgot about Gabe.
Know, but,
yeah,
but they've got to take shots down the field, man. They just got to, I mean, Allen's so great at using the whole field, and it just seems like it's hindered without that, you know, without that the shots down the field.
Yeah, no, thanks for the call, Mike. I appreciate it.
I will say it's about the era that's also going on defensively. This is the too high era. You're not going to see as frequent of deep shots, and there's no quarterback that's going to face it more than Josh
it's
Allen.
Why, to me, James Cook is so important to the offense.
Yes, that is the counter. That's one of the big counters to facing too high as frequently as the Bills do.
Yeah.
And it's also why James Cook is able to have a lot more success. Safeties are going to be like, what, 14 to 18 yards back?
He's
at this
not going to see a lot of 8 and 9 man boxes.
No,
he's just not going.
He's
to.
He's not, and it would be foolish if he did.
I don't disagree about the lack of separation. I don't love that Josh Allen finished this game with 22 attempts.
That's
I think there
the
needs
problem.
To be more. But if they're making a move, which they need to make moves plural.
I don't think
it
offense
has. To be on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, offense
they
is not
they need reinforcements.
Even,
I'll say this.
Offense is not
I
first, second, or third.
I have been pleasantly surprised with Cole Bishop. Pleasantly surprised. I would love if he had a competent running mate next to him.
Yeah, like Taylor Rapp over these last 2 weeks has played so poorly that I'm starting to think, like, if this keeps happening, am I calling for DeMar Hamlin? Like, that's how bad it's been. And
I'm not. I know what they have in DeMar Hamlin's not better than what they have in Taylor Rapp.
What I'm saying is how he's been playing. If this keeps going on for a couple weeks, I might be insane enough to start suggesting it.
CJ Gardner-Johnson is, to me, the name. He's going to be getting paid for the next two seasons by the Texans.
That's why Jabril Peppers getting cut, sign him on the
practice squad and give him a couple of weeks. And if that's a guy that can help you down the road, sweet. And then to me, the other guy is Tariq Woolen. A conversation should absolutely be had. He's a fifth round, third year player does he even count towards the top 51? I don't know. Like, he's not going to be making a lot of money. That is a contract you absolutely can take on.
I was surprised at the draft that they didn't draft a safety at all. It was a good safety draft class.
Well,
as a matter of fact,
Hancock is a safety.
Well, yeah, they did eventually get to Hancock in the fifth round, but you look at Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman, both playing pretty well in Atlanta, and then Sankey, the safety here in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Don't let him leave the building.
He looked really good.
Abduct him.
He looked really good. Let's go back to the phones. Brian in Arcade. Brian, you're on the Overtime Show. Good evening, Brian.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I mean, 2 points on defense. I'd say if you're an opponent of the Bills, why you just run up the middle, man. I mean, our defensive tackles are displaced constantly, and so maybe that changes, obviously, with Oliver. But that's what I see. They just blown open and the holes up the middle. And so the Saints, to me, the Bills got a little lucky. The Saints kind of abandoned that at certain points in the game.
Yeah, they kind of had to. Yeah.
Yep. And then I would say Trey White, I mean, just whoever he's covering, you're going to pick on Trey White. So nothing revolutionary to me on the defense. It's got to evolve throughout the year as guys come back and change. And then offensively, I mean, we're sitting here talking about the deep shot. We talked about it all in the pregame.
Yep.
The Bills tried it in the second quarter. What did it look like, guys?
INT.
Keon Coleman had zero separation on that deep ball, and it gets picked. Okay, so you don't kill him on the pick. But then, like, they tried again the next series. They tried to Samuel. What did it look like? Inefficient, not even close to being complete.
Brian, how about the series before that perfect moon ball to Dawson Knox? No separation.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was that safety. He had a couple of those, man. Beautiful.
He's a nice player. He's a rookie, Brian. That's a nice player for New Orleans.
Yep. And then you guys kind of talked about it, and it was going to be one of my original points, was James Cook. I mean, you need him right now. I mean, he paces the entire offense. Without him, it just doesn't function. So I don't know what the real solution is. If you just become even more efficient, you dial into this death by a thousand cuts offense. You hate to live like that constantly. But I've said it for – it's not a shock. It has not been like this for the last 6 years. The Bills do not have a deep ball offense. They don't invest in wide receiver. I don't know what you're supposed to look at. Earlier in the season, people were talking about, oh, well, Palmer, just get him as a – he's a 4.52 receiver at the combine. He's not faster today than he was at 22 years old. He's not a deep ball player. The guys on the telecast were saying Palmer is a possession receiver. So I don't know where you think – there is no easy lever. Gabe Davis, give me a break.
I know.
It's not real.
I know, Brian. I listen, Brian, I appreciate the call. Thanks, buddy. Gabe Davis, obviously not the answer. I it was just kind of a funny, like, oh, yeah, Gabe Davis. I forgot he's here.
It's one of those things where, like, again, they're facing too high more than anyone else. And over the last few years, that has really grown to be the most common thing, is that you're putting safeties out of the screen in broadcast view. And the Bills are going to face it more than anybody, because you'd be a fool not to. And that's why James Cook is so important. That's why the caller mentioned something about James Cook. That's why it's an effective counter. Because you'd be just as much of a fool to see James Cook seeing eight-man boxes. That would just be stupid. But the Bills are not going to have that. So why, why bother investing in a player like a Xavier Worthy if you're going to get the too high shell anyway? The Chiefs got to connect with Worthy on one play, and then they missed a couple of shots after that. But the deep passing game is not my concern. It's the intermediate. That should be what's being used more.
Yeah.
It is not the deep ball passing game. It is, let's get more of that intermediate ball, because that's where Josh Allen is amongst his best.
Yeah.
It's where he's kind of at his most terrifying.
The chunk plays. Yeah.
The chunk play.
And I do think with Josh Palmer, it's not necessarily the breakaway speed that made him, I think, a good fit for the offense, is that his separation numbers. I mean, he does separate. It just... we haven't quite seen it. We saw it at times against the Ravens. But yeah, like I'm with you on the frustration of it. I do get it. But again, I don't think this is a unique issue to Buffalo, and I don't think it's strictly a unique issue to the players they have at receiver. I think it's a league-wide problem. It's why having an elite running back is now becoming in vogue again. Why 4 years ago, 5 years ago, everyone was divesting from running back, and they were throwing the football down the field, and then teams decided they were no longer going to let that happen, and they were going to dedicate an extra defender up high, and you know, the Bills aren't the only team that struggle with it. So I don't know that I'm looking at this, Derek, as they need to start throwing the football down the field more. I just do think that as a volume passing offense, they need to lean on the quarterback a little more.
Hey, that's what it is. As a volume passing offense, give me some more volume.
Yes.
It's a fine balance also because of the fact that you're facing too high. James Cook in that offensive line is very effective at paving the road. So it is a fine balance that you need to find. Sometimes Joe Brady gets a little too predictable in it, though. There's a couple of games where there's a series or two where he goes, run, 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 run. Okay, everyone figured that out. You mentioned today they did play action more than they had in any other game. Still do more. It's not enough. I feel like with the way that Buffalo plays and the personnel that they can bring out there, the amount of times they use 13 personnel, mm-hmm. which is hilariously great. Play action should murder everybody. Yeah. As a matter of fact, any passing
it
play
does murder them.
Any largely. Passing play involving the Bills should just be play action right now.
Yeah.
Until
especially from under center, they're just so effective yes. at it. It's that when so Josh good. Turns his back to the defense, it creates that extra leverage. I thought early in this game they were gashing the Saints defensively on play action from under center. Let's take a timeout. On the other side, we'll hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, and then to end the show, you'll hear again from Bills head coach Sean McDermott. All that's coming up here on the Overtime Show. I'm Nick Geary. This is WGR. Welcome back to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show. Transitown Jeep Ram, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Before we get to the locker room to hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, a reminder, tonight at 8 p.m. on WGR Sports Radio 550, Westwood One presents the Packers and the Cowboys. Sunday Night Football on WGR is brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time. Let's go to the locker room and hear from Bills quarterback Josh Allen, brought to you by Reimer Home Services. Homes rely on the Rhino.
Hey Josh, is that a case of kind of like just survive and advance like the NCAA tournament, just kind of get past it, do your job, move on?
I mean, I feel like it's every game. You know, we play in the NFL. Every team we play is more than capable of winning each and every week. You know, they came out, they had a really good game plan, offense and defensively. You know, they're a team that's establishing a culture with their head coach. You know, it seems like they're doing things the right way over there. They came ready to play today.
Josh, can you pull up closer to you, sir? Thank you.
Josh, first half, y'all come out on first quarter, you come out on fire. You know, not a problem. Second quarter, you know, you got behind the sticks there a little bit, losing rhythm. What attribute to losing that rhythm in the second quarter?
I just got to stay in front of the sticks. You know, we weren't doing ourselves any favors. A couple boneheaded penalties, boneheaded mistakes, throwing a pick doesn't help. Defense had our back, though. You know, they played great all night tonight or all day today. And, you know, again, just got to keep finding ways to keep moving the ball, staying in front of the chains, first downs, you know, and again, not turning the ball over.
What did you recognize what the Saints defense was trying to do to you guys?
Early on, they were playing a lot of man, you know, and we had a little bit of success on some crossing patterns. And then they really started to, you know, drop back and play some of their zone, two-high coverage, and really force some things underneath. And, you know, I thought their defensive line is one of the better units in the league. They got some studs over there, Carl Granderson, Wyman Cowboy. He got me tonight, I think. So, yeah, it's a really good defensive front. And, you know, we gotta be better on offense, and, you know, it starts with me.
What happened on that fourth down play, the little shovel, the Shakir? It looked like they knew it was coming, but can you explain how that maybe broke down?
Yeah, I mean, I toss it to Khalil there, and I run the other way. you know, it seems like they just made a really good play. I couldn't tell because I really wasn't watching. So,
is that a play, though, where maybe you'd like to just kind of pound it up there with either James or maybe a play fake? That type of thing, or?
Hindsight's 20/20. You know, we've ran that play before, had some success with it. So, you know, I won't dispute anything Joe calls because it typically works.
Back-to-back games where you found Keon, or not Keon, Dalton on kind of that wheel down the sideline. What does Dalton do from a route running standpoint that makes that play work so well?
Well, I think it's his willingness to block. You know, a lot of the time today we were asking him to block for some of our, whether it be jet sweeps or outside throws to Khalil. And when defenders know that, they kind of have to pick their poison. They either run up and try to cover under what's behind Dalton and allowing him to stock block and go, or they play over the top and then I throw the check down. So it's his willingness to block that's getting, you know, giving defenses trouble because they don't really know what to do in those situations.
Can you tell us a little bit just in what you're witnessing in the evolution of James's game overall these first four games this season?
I mean, it seems like he's getting better each and every week, which is hard to imagine. The way that he kind of has this patience to hit the hole, but when he hits it, I mean, he's shot out of a cannon. His contact balance is unbelievable. His jump cuts are awesome. You know, glad he's on our team.
Josh, what happened on that scramble play, the one right before the Dalton touchdown, actually? You know, for a while, things were starting to stall out. It felt like you kind of, you know, put it on yourself to try and make a play there.
Yeah, third and about five. Just kind of got to the back of my drop, was feeling a little bit at the feet, and just decided to tuck it. I'm kicking myself, though, because Dalton ran a fantastic route, and that would have been an easy completion. But decided to make it a little harder on ourselves and do that. But again, just trying to do what I can do to help this team win football games, and needed a first down there, and just that's all I was trying to do.
Josh, Cole Bishop interception, very Micah Hyde-ish.
It was. I'd agree there. It was body language and body control, very much so.
What was your reaction?
Awesome. I mean, kept them out of points right before the half, and you know they were receiving the ball in the second half, and you know we called that double dipping, and we stopped them before the half in three and out. I think coming out of halftime and got the ball back and scored. So that's situational football. That's something Coach McDermott constantly preaches, and just happy that we can go out there and execute that.
I understand you have to do what the defense is, you know, giving you and all of that. But for a while in the fourth quarter, you know, your attempts were pretty low compared to what they normally are. How difficult as a competitor is that for you to sometimes not be the one who is being asked to always make the big play or do like what you did on the scramble and ultimately make that play?
Whenever my number's called, you know, whatever that may be, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm there to make the play. And, you know, flows and ebbs and flows of the game, you know, it switches every week. You never know what situation you're going to find yourself in. Obviously, today was a little bit different situation. But, again, just doing what I'm asked to do, you know, whenever the plays needed to be made, just go out there and try to make them.
Jackson Hawes is there. Blocking, obviously, but he always seems to get open for at least one big play per game. What has he meant to the versatility of this offense and just through the first 4 weeks of the season?
Yeah, I mean, when we roll out our 13 personnel with Dalton, Dawson, and Hazi, you know, you have to be ready for us to run it. But he gives us that element, you know, what, you know, if we naked out, it's not always Dalton or Dawson coming out and making a play. He's more than capable of making these plays, and he's shown that over the course of these first four games.
Josh, you kind of like these past four games of putting it together. Not the way you want to, but you're averaging 30 points. How scary could this offense really be once you guys really get the clicking?
I mean, again, we want to go out there and we want to score every single drive. You know, anytime that we stall or turn the ball over or punt for that matter, we feel like it's a disappointment. Again, we're going to watch this film and try to learn from it and, you know, put ourselves in better situations early on in the game and, you know, try to stay as two-dimensional as possible and go from there.
I was going to say, you know, to Mookie's question, you guys have scored 30 or more in every single game, right? So the floor is certainly high. I mean, how comforting is knowing that? Like, you know, you guys have really raised the floor with this offense, even on a day when you said you guys made some boneheaded mistakes, put yourselves behind the sticks. To be able to still have that output, I mean, what is that a credit to?
That's a credit to everybody doing their job, not blinking when it comes down to it, and making the plays when they need to be made, and just trusting what Joe's calling.
There's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. We're going to take a timeout. On the other side, we'll hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott following today's 31-19 victory over the New Orleans Saints. This is the Transit on Jeep Ram Overtime Show. I'm Nick Geary. This is Derek Kramer. We appreciate you listening here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option. That's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim and you get motion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam. So you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
All right, welcome back to our final segment here on the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show, Transitown Dram Jeep, Buffalo's home for Jeep and Ram for 60 years and counting. Let's go to the podium and hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott.
Good to get a win. Great to do it at home in front of our fans. Again, great turnout. Beautiful day in Western New York. Couldn't ask for anything more. Glory to God for the weather, for the win, and all his blessings. And I thought the team really came together in the second half. We weren't really playing complimentary brand of football in the first half, and came out in the second half with a little more energy and attitude. And I thought that showed on the first drive for defense, first drive for offense. Still a lot to work on. It was good to see James, break the record that he did, the franchise record, and I'm happy for him. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into that, not just from him, but for all those around him and O-line, all those involved, Coach Cromer, all the offensive coaches, to the work that they put in there, Coach Brady as well, and Coach Gund. And then Cole Bishop getting his first NFL interception. Great to see. He's worked hard, and he continues to grow every week. And I think that's it. So time is yours.
Coach, just going to talk about Cole Bishop in that play. How important and how impactful was that play? Kind of like Micah Hyde just a little bit. I kind of thought he was still out there, but just care to talk about his
play. Well, it was a huge play in the game. If you kind of really think about it big picture due to the, you know, they're getting the ball after half. They're down there inside of, you know, whatever it was, 2-3 minutes to play, maybe less. And, you know, they score before half potentially. They, you know, they come out with the ball after half. And now you're talking about a potentially, you know, 14 play or a 14 point situation there. So big time play. And it was, you know, they ran a gadget there and Colt did a great job sniffing it out.
Reaction to the penalties, just the number of them that you guys took?
Yeah, you know, we own them, and we got to get them fixed. So, you know, I'll look at, take a hard look at them and make sure that, you know, we're teaching the right things and we're executing the right things technique-wise. You can't beat yourself.
Sean, operationally with the timeouts, obviously you want all of them late. What went into those two moments when you had to kind of
think
those?
So, you know, starting on we burn, I think, another time. I know another timeout. I believe it was in the first half with, you know, the play clock running down. Can't do that. You need timeouts. They're, like I said before, they're gold at the end of the half, end of the game. And we got lucky, quite honestly. We didn't have to use them because we didn't have any left, you know, at the end of the game there. It was substitution-based. They did some no huddle. One in particular, the ball ended up on their sideline, which, you know, when that happens, you're expecting to get it, you know, someone stand over the ball. If the ball went out of bounds, you know, in their coaching box, in the players' box there. So, anyway, but regardless, we've got to do a better job of with our substitutions and managing those substitutions accordingly.
Sean, that situation was 21-19. You're at midfield. You had 2nd and 4, and James comes off the field, and you go run to Ray, run to Ty, and then the little. Look, I mean, in that situation, thinking back, would you rather have James Cook on the field for one of those?
Well, we got to go back and look at it. Obviously, it wasn't good enough, so we'll go back and evaluate that.
Coach, how important was gap integrity coming out in that second half? It seems like they were running a lot of multiple sets, some motions and shifts, trying to get you off of your keys there. So what would you tell those guys at halftime, the importance of gap integrity?
Yeah, well, we start every week with that, the importance of doing your 1-11th, doing your job. I thought overall, you know, they came out trying to run the football on us and keep the game, you know, let's call it close, and they did a good job of that. And you know, I thought we did a better job in the second half in some situations. But everything starts with gap integrity in the run game and doing your job, and then tackling. I didn't think we could have tackled better than we did. So we go back and look at that as well and evaluate and try and grow from it. I think that's the important piece. Third downs were way better this go around, so that's a step in the right direction. And then closing the game out defensively was good to see us be able to get there with our front four, and the rush and coverage work together there. So there's a lot of, you know, there's enough signs of growth, but there's, on the other side of that, there's plenty of signs that we've got a lot more work to do. But I'm happy. I'll celebrate the win, that's for sure.
Yeah. Saw Dorian Strong come in a few series for Tre'Davious White. What went through that decision?
Yeah, just, you know, looking at a young player and giving him some experience and some valuable reps. And, you know, it wasn't anything Trey didn't do. That was the plan going into the game.
Sean, the decision to not have Codrington active, what went into that? And who you used on the returns, what went into that?
Similar, just looking at, you know, different players, seeing how the roster, you know, the game day roster looks with different players up, different players down. With the goal of making sure we have our best guys out there, you know, as we head down the road here.
Walker and Phillips, that tandem, you know, how impressive were you to see those two guys out there at the same time?
Yeah, two big guys. It was good to have Jordan up for this game, and you know, he brings some things. He brings an edge to our defense. He loves to play, plays with an edge.
Sean, your 90th win. How does it, when you're, especially a tough game like today, how does that feel to hit that?
Yeah.
Continuing to move up the win totals and the overall.
Yeah, what a blessing. I mean, what a blessing. It got a great staff around me through the years, you know, really good, great players around me, and you can't do this job by yourself. And extremely grateful. Grateful to God, grateful for all those who have helped me over the years. And like I said, it's a true team effort. So trust me, I wasn't thinking about trying to get 90 during the game. That was a hard game, and we knew it was going to be tough. They're all tough. So, but I'm extremely grateful and grateful to the fans too, because a lot of those wins have happened at home. So they played a big part in it.
Coach,
Coach, you're putting up 30 points, and you, like you just mentioned, you know, there's room for growth, and you're hitting your stride. How scary could this team really be when things really just start to click and come in season?
Well, we'll see. I don't think we really know, Mookie, yet. We'll see. You know, it's a week-to-week league. You know, it's a hard league to win, so you celebrate every win, and you learn. You learn from the wins. You learn from the ones that don't work out the way that you hope they work out. Right, Vic? Yeah, you've been in this league a long time, a lot of you guys, right? And it's not easy, right? It's not easy. So it's good to get a 1 o'clock home win and a beautiful Sunday afternoon. And I'm going to go home and watch somebody else sweat it out a little bit here. So.
Your reaction to Josh on that final scoring drive at the throw to Dalton, obviously the run before
him. Yeah, the will to win. You know, at halftime, I could tell he just had that look in his eye. And he's just got an incredible will to win and spirit about him. And I love it. I absolutely love it. And when he made that scramble run, I think, on one of those drives, and he just, you know, when he raises his level of play, it's like, okay, boys, they raised their level of play. And they knew what time it was. And again, I should have credited when I started, the second half running game was legit. It really was. Coach Cromer, Coach Gunn, Joe calling those, dialing them up, and the O-line, all involved in the running game, did a phenomenal job. I think in the first half we had close to 60 yards, and to end with 165 is very impressive. That adjustment, and I thought the staff overall did a great job of communicating and making the adjustments we had to make to pull the game out.
That was Bills head coach Sean McDermott. And a reminder, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Jeremy and Joe break the game down in the morning, then the Extra Point with show with Sal Capaccio at 10, followed by One Bills Live with Chris Brown, Steve Tasker at noon, Chopin Bulldog at 3, Buffalo Bills Football Monday, all day on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks to Derek Kramer, Tanner Saunders. I'm Nick Geary. You've been listening to the Transitown Jeep Ram Overtime Show on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With Ring cameras, you can protect your home from anywhere. You're at baggage claim, and you get emotion alert. Check live view and see a guy looking in your car window. Luckily, you've got floodlight cam, so you press the siren button and let 105 decibels do the rest. Problem solved, home protected, bag on its way. With Ring, you can protect your home from anywhere. Learn more at ring.com.
Make every day a Disney Plus and Hulu day, and get everything you love in one plan. Start your day with Monday Mayhem and watch episodes of Bob's Burgers. How about a Touchdown Tuesday with the hilarious new comedy, Chad Powers? Or a Whodunit Wednesday with high potential and everyone's favorite amateur sleuths in the hit series Only Murders in the Building? Maybe you're in the mood for a thrilling Thursday. Grab some popcorn and stream huge blockbusters like Marvel Studios' Thunderbolts on Disney+. Or get caught up with the most enthralling news on what you need to know. Gather the fam for a Flashback Friday and binge all episodes of Modern Family or Grey's Anatomy. So, discover something every day on Disney Plus and Hulu. It's the movies and shows you love, every day. 18 and up only, offer valid for eligible subscribers only, terms apply.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
What I miss most about New York City,
I miss the life, I miss the culture, and just stuff to do, just stuff.
I miss being able to walk everywhere. I miss the bodegas. I miss everything about New York.
I miss everything. I miss the city, big time.
Let me know you get this. Love you, bye.
Get the local expertise you need to never become a former New Yorker. Go to StreetEasy.com to get started. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Incorporated, which has licenses in all 50 states.